Keretismata Daimon, and welcome. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the idea of feeding the Kundalini. This is something that you hear about through a variety of different Kundalini sources, that the Kundalini is hungry, that it needs to be fed, and also that there is a change in one's dietary behaviors that often comes as a result of a Kundalini awakening activation type of experience. So the way people express this, it runs a wide gamut from, you know, the need to snack all the time, nuts, or sometimes, you know, people talk about they, you know, just had an incredible sweet tooth as a result of it. And there's different people, different things that people say that they experience from it. Another very common thing that I hear is that people go vegan or vegetarian. You know, this is actually not so uncommon in the whole Eastern philosophy and mysticism scene. Veganism is fairly common, and there's some history behind that as well. So that's another question that comes up: is veganism the proper a proper Kundalini diet? So I'm going to say some things here that are probably unpopular and maybe a little bit radical and controversial, but you know, that's how I roll. I'm just going to mention a few historical facts. And I understand that, you know, in India, there's a large amount of vegetarianism, and many of the Hindu saints, you know, Ramakrishna and Yogananda and all these guys, for the most part, they all are vegetarians and recommend veganism. However, there's a couple of things that provide exceptions to this, or a question to this. First is the fact that Buddha was a meat eater, because it's documented, Buddha's last meal is documented as being pork. So practitioners in that time most certainly did eat meat. So there's that. Now there's also a passage in the Bhagavad Gita, and this is Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to share with you Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I like this version because he gives a word-by-word translation from Sanskrit of everything, alongside his translation and analysis. So I think it's I think that that's good. And I've noticed that other versions of the Bhagavad Gita, well, in particular, muck up this particular passage that I'm about to read for you. So I'm not going to get into all the different translations and comparing them or anything like that, but I'm just going to share this one with you. This is from chapter 17, verse 8, which is talking about Arjuna is asking Krishna, what are the best foods to eat? So he's just straight up asking him. Krishna says, foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. So juicy, but especially the word fatty in there, in my mind, most definitely includes meat products. Now there's nothing in here bans meat. Nothing in the Bhagavad Gita discourages meat consumption. And then there's even another section of it where they talk about the best ways to meditate, proper ways to approach meditation. And one of the things they recommend is to meditate on deer skin, animal skins. So animal products are okay as far as the Bhagavad Gita goes. So there's another thing. Another thing which I've mentioned before, and I find it so inspiring because it is similar to my experience, is Gopi Krishna in his book, Living with Kundalini, when he talks about his Kundalini experience. And from his initial activation, he experienced a negative kind of awakening. And so he became very ill and unable to keep down food. He talks earlier in the book about how he largely had gotten away from eating meat, prior to all this. And as he was basically on his deathbed, he had a dream where a higher intelligence told him to try eating some meat. So when he woke up, he tried to eat some meat, and he immediately got better. It totally righted his whole system, and his Kundalini activation from there thenceforward became a source of energy and vitality. The fact that he experienced this communication from a higher source, a higher part within himself, perhaps his own daimon, his own Kundalini, is giving him some advice. His holy guardian angel is helping gently nudge him in one direction. It's kind of similar to what happens in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking Krishna, what's the best way to meditate? What's the best thing to eat? This is essentially, since Krishna represents the divine principle in all individuals, Krishna also represents the higher intelligence, the higher potential within us, the daimon. And so Arjuna is asking his higher self for guidance in what is the right thing to eat. So, out there in the ordinary world, no one knows what is the right thing to eat. As a society, as a culture, we don't know what the, after thousands and thousands of years right here on planet Earth, we do not as a civilization know what the right thing to eat is. There's a million different diets and all kinds of different ideas about this, and everyone's just really confused. So what some people like to say is that everyone is different and everyone has their own particular dietary formula that they need to dial in for themselves. So I'm willing to concede that possibility. I'm not going to die on a hill saying that it's not true. However, my own experiences, which I'm going to talk about next, lead me to feel that it's not really true that everyone has a different formula for what kinds of foods they should eat. Rather, everyone, when they start eating lots of really bad and toxic types of foods, that we have a different and individualistic way in which our body responds with one of many autoimmune conditions, or insulin resistance, arthritis, and various things like that. So, getting back to my experience, and the way this all unfolded for me, and I've talked a lot on this show about my experience with ulcerative colitis. I was diagnosed with it in 2014, and before I got the diagnosis and got some high-powered steroids and other drugs to set me straight, I was on my deathbed. I completely related to Gopi Krishna's story about laying on his bed and not being able to get up because he was so incredibly weak. And I mean, it's possible that he had ulcerative colitis, entirely possible. But I mean, that's how I felt, how he describes it in that book. And this is before I had a Kundalini awakening. So after I got prescribed medicine for it, this got me back to being able to function normally. Although I was never fully over it, I was always felt a little bit colitis-y. And after, certain foods would make me feel a little more colitis-y and some a little bit less. And I went through many different changes in my diet throughout all this. I swung very close to vegan, and then I tried paleo, and then nothing would ever really stick. Like I would try and get, I guess what I would later understand as being keto. I'd cut out breads or something like that for a while, but then I'd always come back to it. And I was still drinking alcohol all the time through all of it anyhow. So it's almost like even if I did change my diet, it didn't matter so much because I was completely agitating myself with this poisonous liquid that I was pouring into myself. So when I had an experience then that I could not fully account for during my morning meditation on November 15th of 2021, almost immediately from there, things started to change. And I didn't get any kind of new knowledge. Nothing specific appeared in my mind and said, eat this, don't eat that. It's just my palate changed, and I didn't want this or I wanted that. And I was not as beholden to what others might say to me. This is always one of the problems of like implementing any kind of unique diet, is peer pressure, social pressure, when you eat out with friends or family. And if you change things, then they'll say something about it. And so sometimes you just, you go along with it because you don't want to get into it. But something had changed to where it's like I wasn't worried about that anymore, if people were going to say anything to me about what I'm eating or ask me questions. Just I don't want it. It was very intuitive. I would just, you know, start leaving behind, you know, the buns if I got a hamburger, and I stopped doing any kind of like fried food. I quit snacking. I cut down radically on sweets. I got really into nuts. I was crazy about pistachio nuts. I was eating those like all really, really consistently. Tuna fish, just like raw tuna fish, I had cravings for. And eventually someone told me, you know, it sounds like what you're doing is basically a ketogenic diet. You know, and this went on for like a year or two. And around that time, a family member, a cousin of mine, who I met up with, who likes talking about diet and stuff, we had a conversation and she said, "That sounds like you're on a ketogenic diet." And then she started introducing me to ideas about the carnivore diet, the BBB&E, you know, bacon, beef, butter, and eggs diet. And so it wasn't until October of 2023 where I fully went to that diet, into a carnivore diet. And, you know, I could make a whole nother video about all of the incredible health benefits for it. It goes into a different sphere. And the question emerges is, was, you know, did the awakening, or did the activation experience lead me this way? Or was I headed this way anyhow and brought along my feelings about it? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's funny, you start going back trying to figure out the chain of causality of what brought you to where you are in life. And it's like, oh, there's always one thing leads to another, and it gets hard to say what happened. But I look at the activation experience as being a key thing, if not just from my intuition beginning to lead me in this direction, also the falling away of the fear of always needing to maintain social obligations and needing to maintain a certain image and not wanting to step on people's toes, and having a inner confidence and just being okay with what I know is the proper thing for me. And yeah, I mentioned this earlier about how there's an idea that everyone has their own unique diet. And I do think that that is true. But I do think there are some foods that everyone believes are good for you and believes in that, you know, USDA's endorsement that it's good, that are really like not good for you. And that's like anything that has sugar in it, you know, grains and oats. And you know, it's weird because you just see people, you know, who are getting sicker, they're getting bigger, and you know, if they are, if they talk to me about any of this stuff, they double down and dig in on their current diet, and they're definitely not going to change anything. So honestly, I hesitate to talk to anyone about it anymore. I think putting it out on a video here where no one can really respond to me is about as far as I really want to go with it. But I'll let that go. And yeah, everyone is in a different place and needs to figure out what they need to do. But for myself, it was listening to that higher intuition that just kind of guided me, just being available to that, you know. It's not like I even thought about it or made decisions about things. It's just like I knew what I was going to do next, and I did it. And I look back on it now, and I'm really happy that I did. And I saw a guy on YouTube, a British guy, he was on Ken Berry's show, and he ended up having to get, and from ulcerative colitis, he had to get an ileostomy. In other words, he had to have his colon all totally removed and he has a colostomy bag. And now he's gone carnivore and he can see, you know, the foods coming through directly into the bag. And so he knows that meat all gets absorbed in your body. The only thing that comes through is, you know, vegetables and, you know, all the things it's exactly the opposite of what they told us. Like, I remember being told when I was in high school by a vegan hippie chick that meat stays in your colon and rots there. It's just an absolute lie. The reverse is true. You know, it's like corn and mushrooms like sit in your colon forever and create blockages. All of the meat like gets absorbed and it's nutrient dense. So when I think of feeding Kundalini, feeding the fire force within, I think red meat, 100% red meat. Listening to this guy's story about the colostomy bag, that reminded me of my situation exactly when I first got diagnosed with it. I was afraid that I would eventually be in that situation. Because my first round of like medication, things didn't work. I had to go through this whole like deal and find a different doctor who finally gave me prednisone and some other drugs and got me on a regular regimen. But initially, when I got treatment for it, it didn't work. And then I fell off the treatment and it got even worse. But, you know, I went online. I was desperate to find out information about this. So I went online looking up information and saw, there's all these people, especially in the UK and Canada, talking about how they, you know, the same thing as me. The doctor tells me to eat the same stuff, you know. Oh yeah, follow the four basic food groups, you know, get lots of fruits and vegetables. And, you know, that's all doctors know how to say, is follow the food pyramid. There's no doctor, you know, standard doctor that's going to tell you anything different than that. And, you know, people are talking about how it was getting worse and worse, and they have to get a colostomy or ileostomy. And it's just terrifying. So anyhow, I see this guy's story and I think that could have been me if I hadn't gone in this other direction. So eventually it led me to where, so I guess to back up, I skipped like a really important piece of this story, is that after finally going to that total carnivore diet, that was around really about six to eight months ago now, all of my colitis symptoms vanished. I stopped the medication, and I'm just like a normal human being again. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I have no regrets whatsoever. And finally, in Ouspensky's book, In Search of the Miraculous, he gives us something called the diagram of everything living. And what this diagram does, it's a stair step kind of thing. I'm gonna put it up here. And you can see it's a ladder going up from the lowest life forms, from like metals, minerals, those are living organisms too, to plants, then invertebrates, vertebrates, then man. Then above man is angels, archangels, going on up. So what this tells me is that in terms of hydrogens and cosmic substances, it is more healthy for man to eat what is like closer to him, what is like right next behind him on the scale. See, this happens all the time on, there's all these, with these ladder metaphors and these scale metaphors, that you reach back to what is right behind you and you reach forward to what is like right in front of you. This is in The Secret of the Golden Flower too. It says one should not wish to skip the intermediary steps, right? So you help the person who's right under you, you help and you seek help from what is like right above you, which means that the best foods for us are from vertebrates, which is red meat. There's also invertebrates on there. So you can have some crustaceans and stuff if you want, it won't kill you. But then you get down into plants and it's getting further and further away, and it's the grain. So Paul Saladino kind of talks about this too. So going from scientism to actual science, it's like the molecular structure of meat is more congruent with the molecular structure of our body. And that is one reason why we can break it down and we can absorb it better. Whereas like the molecular structure for plants is like, it's kind of really different. It's kind of a different thing altogether. It's almost like an alien. They're like alien entities. Like if you eat plants, it's like you're eating some kind of alien force. And so, that's why it's making you sick. So anyhow, those are my opinions for me. It's entirely possible that every individual in the world has a different magical key for what they're supposed to eat, even though for thousands of years we all lived in one, you know, pretty much the same areas and only had the same options for food. Only very recently in human history have things opened up to where, oh my God, there's a million different kinds of foods anyone can eat. It's a very recent thing in human history. So it doesn't make sense considering that our bodies evolve over millions of years. Our biology is a result of like, it's more in line with what happened a million years ago than it is with what happened 100 years ago. So even like the historical record and evolutionary biology indicates that, no, it's not true that everyone has a special combination of the best thing to eat. Although I do think it's true that everyone has an individual combination of how they start to manifest disease as a result of foods that aren't that great for you. So the moral of this whole story is to always stay true, go against the grain and keep the dark fires burning.